Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies once again. Because the movie theatres, or cinemas, as we say,
are open.
They're opened. You can go in them. You can buy
popcorn.
Snacks. You can watch a movie on a big screen.
The last time we went to the cinema is, embarrassingly, last September when we went to see...
Bill and Ted. Bogus. No, what was it called?
I have no idea.
Bill and Ted Ride Again.
But that's a terrible thing to finish on. However, we did go to a drive-thru in October to see Casper the Friendly Ghost, which somewhat made up for that experience.
Yeah, that counts.
But yeah, here we are. It's now May, and we are going to see Sound of Metal. It's a funny thing because the moment all the films that are out in the cinema are like also on streaming services.
So it's on Prime Video.
Yeah.
So it's available for free in our living room. Yeah. Not for free, but we're paying for Prime Video.
But we put a poll on Twitter with like loads of movies that are out at the moment, all of which look really good actually, like including Nomadland, this, a few others, what you guys recommended, and Sound of Metal won. So we're going to take your advice, we're going to go. And I have heard that this is like really worth seeing on the big screen because of the sound.
Yes,
and the surround sound being awesome. So we know Riz Ahmed is in it, who we love, big fans of him, and he was Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I know about it, to be honest.
I know the general plot of this.
Okay.
Do you not?
No.
Will I say it?
You can say it, the general plot.
So it's about I know he's a drummer, and I know that the movie deals with his hearing loss.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
I think that will...
I did know that.
...probably make for interesting
really
audio...
Interesting.
Stuff going
and he's
on
so
in
good.
The cinema.
But we're pumped, we can't wait, we're off to the cinema now, we couldn't be more pleased.
We're walking through
we're
a
walking
car
through,
park
so we're going to go.
So we get, yeah, come on. Okay,
see you, on the
see
other
you
side.
Very soon, bye.
Your hearing is deteriorating rapidly.
We'll come back. Till then, Lou, we just keep going, okay?
No.
Lou,
no.
Let's play tomorrow. Let's see what it's like, okay? I'm gonna be like a click track. You can play to me.
You have to understand, your first responsibility is to preserve the hearing you have.
I can't hear you. Do you understand me? I can't. I'm deaf! I'm deaf!
I found a place.
I think it's important that you stay here with us right now, Reuben. We're looking for a solution to this. Not this.
I need you to wait for me, okay? You're it for me, Lou. You're my part. You're it for me, okay? You gotta wait for me.
Hi, we're back. We saw Sound of Metal in an actual cinema.
And it was amazing.
So good.
Both the cinema experience and the movie.
Yeah, really enjoyed the movie.
Recommend
really
both.
Enjoyed going to the cinema. Oh my God, it's so good to be back, isn't it?
It was so nice. I ate so much popcorn that I feel like my full body is dehydrated.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier about that feeling.
I got a beer.
It's awesome.
I got some crisps with my beer.
Yeah, you overdid
which
it.
I thought would be a great idea because they pair really nicely, but I forgot because I'm
popcorn.
So out of the game. No, I didn't. I knew you had popcorn, but I forgot because I'm so long out of the game that crisps are the worst cinemas now.
Yeah, they are.
Like, first of all, you have to open the packet.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of noise. Then you have to rustle in the packet every time you want to open something. So, but luckily, the beginning of this movie is very loud.
So you timed it well.
So I timed
it.
So I did not disturb any of the other two people who were in the cinema. Maybe it's just the time... We went...
I mean, it's a Monday night, like...
Yeah. Oh, God, I just got hit by a tree. Ow. Just walked into a tree trunk. dangerous, this dangerous game, this cinemiling.
It is. Yeah. I'm so glad this is the movie. It was quiet, but I'm so glad this is the movie that we went back to the cinema for.
Yeah, same.
Like, it really felt like, visually, yes, it looked great on the big screen, as all movies do, but, like, as we had been told, the sound made it. Because yeah. The plot is somebody who's losing their hearing and how that feels and sounds. And that was just incredibly done. And, like, the speakers made such a difference. And, like, so, for example,
it was immersive.
When we were hearing what he was hearing. It's hard to describe. We were hearing what he was hearing. So when things were fading out and buzzing for him, we would hear distorted muffling of other people speaking, like combined with, say, like maybe the pounding of music. And then because it was subtitled, we would then be reading what they were saying. We weren't hearing what they were saying. Yeah. So the experience, I would like be really interested to.
Or sometimes they deliberately wouldn't give you subtitles. If when it's something he would not have been able to interpret.
It was so
like
good.
You're very much, the movie does a brilliant job of putting you in his head as he's experiencing this newfound hearing loss and what it's like to live in a world which is
designed for hearing people.
Ableist, or it's, you know, yeah,
designed for people who are hearing. Yeah. And then it explores, like, it's so interesting, and it went off, we won't go into spoilers at this point, but it kind of explores all that. And there is, you know, it is very true, like, that there's huge politics around, like, in the deaf community on, like, people who kind of embrace and accept deafness versus people who, you know, try and go down the route of, like, implants. And I know there's actually a really big division somewhat between those people, so that's really interesting. That's explored. Then of course you've got, like, if you're a musician and that's your trade, what happens if you're losing your hearing? And there's so much to kind of unpick, but it just we'll do that in spoilers. Just felt like a real experience, didn't it? I felt like it was really just kind of washing over me in the best kind of way that, like, only a cinema can do.
Yeah.
It just would not have had that experience at home.
Exactly. If you're able to pause or hear other things, like, here's our children on the monitor, or, you know, hear a car go by outside. It's just, it doesn't quite put you in that.
No.
You need to being in a dark, silent room for this definitely heightens the experience.
And some people have really good speaker setups, which we don't at home. Yeah. Or, like, actually, might be another way people, like,
We don't usually encourage
like small screen viewing, but it might actually be better on a small screen with a headphone.
That's true.
Than on a
laptop
big screen.
And headphones probably do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad we saw
or
it
on
cinema.
Your phone on the toilet.
So glad cinemas are back. I'm really hoping they're not going to close again.
I hope so too.
We went to our favorite cinema, Light Cinema. We love them. They do such a good job with, like, COVID and everything. It just feels really safe.
Oh, so nice.
So nice to be back. But should we go to Spoiler Street? Because I don't really want to spoil anything on this.
Yeah,
book.
Let's go to Spoiler Street.
Other
before we do
say,
that,
go watch it.
Recommend, yeah, highly yeah. recommend. If you can get to go see this in the cinema and you're comfortable to, go for it.
Yeah.
If not, yeah, stick it on your laptop and put your headphones in.
Yeah,
probably a good way to do it.
Yeah, or have, like, really good speaker set up. But, like, what is interesting now, and this is very new territory, is that pretty much everything is on both streaming and in cinema now. And I just find that really fascinating. The movie that is coming out in a few weeks, A Quiet Place, will just be in cinemas, I believe. So that's, like, the true test, again, of, like, what can cinema do in COVID?
Yeah, but can they make their money back then? That's the, you know,
exactly.
It's really interesting.
It's going to be really interesting
but
to see
But then
they're
not necessarily making, you don't make money from streaming either, but you boost the offering of your platform. So
it depends on the
drives
platform.
Drives revenue, like, and membership. And
Disney will be making a lot of money for.
Oh, they do Premier Access.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. So they do make money.
And Universal are doing it. Like, we paid like £20 to see The Invisible Man last year. Do you remember?
Yeah, that's right.
So people will be making money from it. But it'll be a really good test, A Quiet Place, I think, because Tenet was kind of the test last year. But in fairness, Tenet had a lot of problems and it didn't have great, you know. It didn't have, like, cross the board good reviews. Whereas A Quiet Place is coming off the success of the first one, and it's, like, unanimously loved.
And actually, that's another film which, if it's anything like the first, which I really enjoyed, heavily relies on the use of sound, and would be, like this movie, more immersive in the cinema experience.
Yeah.
Like, you could hear, and my God, seeing A Quiet Place in the cinema, you could hear a needle drop, right?
Yeah.
In a room full of people.
I haven't seen
it. And then
it.
You all lose your shit together, as you can only do in a horror movie. And that is, for me, that's the pinnacle. I'm really hoping to see Quiet Place 2 in the cinema and excited for it.
So before we head over to Spoiler Street, we're going to do a shout out to our patrons who follow us on patreon.com/cinemile, where we do monthly retro movie reviews and we do a load of TV reviews as well.
Yeah, so yeah, huge thank you to all of our patrons there, but in particular to a shout out to our new patrons who have joined us in the past month. So that is Oliver Martell. Thank you, Oliver. David Parrish. Hey, David. I owe you an email, David. Johnny O'Connor, Catherine Maloney, and Paddy Aylesbury. So thank you to them and to everyone who contributes at the rate of £2 or £3 a month and gets access to all our retro movie and TV reviews. What's the last TV show? Jupiter's Legacy we watched on Netflix. We did a whole episode on that.
We really loved it.
Nobody
Jupiter's
else
Legacy.
Seemed to like it, but we loved it. So that's it. Right, back to Sound of Metal. Spoilers now. Spoilers for Sound.
Okay, so like that's it's a funny one. You really have to get to spoilers because like the plot of this just so didn't go where I was expecting it to. It's like nominally a drummer who's losing his sound. And then, his hearing. And then very quickly he's kind of removed from that drumming world. But like, do you remember that scene that was, it was so well done, right? They live in a camp, like a trailer, him and his girlfriend, because they're traveling musicians. And like, it's the morning, we see their routine and we're watching it with subtitles on screen. So it's like really emphasizing everything he hears every morning. Coffee dripping, smoothie blending. It emphasized all this sound in the scene. And then the next day,
and it's set up, it's Chekhov's smoothie maker.
Yeah, and then we get the next day and we, all of that's happening, but because we were made so aware of it by the director in the last scene, when we're here this time we're like hearing it from Riz Ahmed's perspective and it's all gone. And I just found that terrifying.
Yeah,
and that was just so well done. And that little touches like that in this movie are like,
you're amazing. you're on the he's naturally, he's excellent in this movie.
If saving more and spending less is one of your top goals for 2023, why are you still paying insane amounts of money every month for your phone bill? Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile, you'll get their unlimited plan for 50% off. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Cut your wireless bill to 15 bucks a month at mintmobile.com/save. That's mintmobile.com/save. Hurry. Offer ends January 15th.
They both are. It's kind of a two-hander.
I wouldn't say that.
Actually, yeah, she disappears for a large
part.
But she's
not
also
a two-hander.
She's also very good.
I mean, she's great.
But the sorry, you're right. So, but he's excellent in this movie, but what he really sells, he is the journey, right? He's on a journey and I felt like I was with him. I experienced the horror and the fear that he experienced at first. I went through the sort of cathartic joy that he experiences in the middle, and just the beauty, and so touching, everything that happens in that community and this new life he gains, and you get to see a different side to him as a character. This, you know, how good he is with kids, how
he's so sweet.
Loving he is, how
you know,
there's so
sense.
Many lovely little sweet moments, like the drumming on the slide.
And he's teaching, and you get this because at the start you don't actually know anything about him other than he seems to be a nice boyfriend and he's a drummer.
Yeah,
and then it's this definite like example of show don't tell. We never get like a backstory for him. We don't know anything about him other than he casually references his dad looked like Jeff Goldblum. That's pretty much all we know about him. And yet,
no, I thought he said
we learn a lot
about
him.
He looked like Jeff Goldblum and thought he might be his dad. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
Whatever, but that's it. Like, but well, we don't need to know, because we learn about him through his actions, and like, and then like very quickly we learn that. But again, through a really clever way, like he finds out that he's gone deaf, and he basically goes outside and asks someone for a cigarette, and the girlfriend calls his sponsor because we didn't know he's an addict, and a cigarette for him is like
the trigger.
First step on the ladder to like maybe going back on harder drugs again. So we learn that just through that scene, like. So it's just such good storytelling. Yeah. At no point is it like he's an addict. What if he goes back in the wagon? Like that's not how we learn it. And
not only that, they also don't use that information in a hackneyed or cliche way that plays in later. Like you don't see a weaker movie would add in a heroin relapse in there, or it would add it like
yeah.
it doesn't. What it shows us is that he's an addict, but that he's replaced he's replacing his addictions with other things. So music has become his addiction. Then perhaps, you know, health and fitness. He's somebody who's very intense, you know, he's rigorous. You see it in his routine at the morning. It's smoothies and push-ups, and he's very routine focused.
I wish I had that routine.
And as soon as, yeah, I know.
And then look like him.
As soon as the music goes away, he has to fill his time. And there's a brilliant moment with when he's fixing the roof and he's always trying to be busy and active. And his Ruben, his... the head of the community, who is awesome, such a good character.
I love Ruben. Yeah. This is what's so unique about this movie, and we need to do some research because we haven't. Like, feels so based on real life. Like, this is a movie that's effectively set in a center for deaf addicts. Like, that is so,
so specific.
Yeah.
But it's a subset of a wider deaf community, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But like, he, Ruben, runs the center, and like, he basically, like, basically the joy of this movie, and this, I just love movies that are about something like so
positive,
small and yet so big.
Yeah.
Basically, Ruben teaches him how to just sit still and just enjoy a moment.
And it could, so easily border into cliche or cheesy, or, you know, but it doesn't. It feels like very...
It's like the movie ends with him sitting on a bench and taking out his implants.
Beautiful ending. Beautiful.
And like, there's that bit in the middle where he kind of, like, and again, not even dramatic. It's not dramatic. He kind of, quote unquote, betrays Ruben by breaking his trust. But all he does is actually go and get himself money to try and get implants to get his hearing back, which is completely fine. Like, that's not a bad, you know, he didn't steal money to buy drugs.
Well, it wasn't the betrayal. It was more of a betrayal of the ethos of the community, which, as you outlined earlier, it's this whole thing. But he literally says, Ruben, and it breaks Ruben's heart, and you can see it. You can't be here because it sends the wrong message.
Yeah, and you totally get Ruben's point.
Yeah.
Like, you, what I love about this movie is you understand everyone's point of view. They're all trying their best, and at the end of the day, it's Riz Ahmed's right to, you know, to get implants and get hearing back. That's his right, and like, he, you know, if he wants to do it, he can do it. And like, but then I find that a whole experience when he does get the implants, and this is like where the Sound of Metal comes in, how distorted and all that sounded. I wonder how close that is to reality. And they obviously works better for some people than others, and you'd never know.
I don't know. I'd love to hear from somebody in the deaf community as to their how they interpret the narrative of this movie and how authentic it is. Certainly feels very, it feels like it's injected with a certain amount of care and authenticity.
This is one now I want to go off and like read all about the director, writer, and like figure it all out.
It feels very, even the, you know, the sets they use, the way it's filmed, it's all very naturalistic, isn't it? This is like, it looked like they were all in real locations all
the
time.
And when they were in Paris, A, we're like, God, we want to go to Paris. But B, I just love that it was like different sounds then in the captions, which is something we noticed with like a European siren. And like all the different things.
Really interesting.
And there's that really
stuff.
Sad and poignant thing, which, like, you know, any of us who've been in relationships and broken up have experienced, of like him and the girlfriend reconnect and like they still really love each other, but it's just not right.
No.
And I just love that their breakup is so kind and nice. Like, everything about this movie is just so kind and nice, and they just know they're not meant to be together, but they both say, "You saved my life and I really loved you." And I just, it's so touching.
And that's what this movie is about fundamentally. It's about transitions. It's about, and I was able to relate to it on, not specifically on Ruben, on, oh God, what's the main
I cannot remember.
Oh, wait, maybe the main character is called Ruben. Oh God, I forgot.
Wait, this is what happens when it's a really famous actor.
Yeah, Joe was the name of the guy with the ponytail. Everyone who's listening to this is laughing.
Right,
Ruben,
okay.
Ruben is Riz Ahmed.
I'm
sorry,
so embarrassed.
Sorry, guys. Okay.
So embarrassed.
Joe was the guy.
Oh, because she calls him Ruby, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But I felt like, you know, what he went through with... Basically, this movie is about him letting go of his old life.
Yeah.
And accepting his new one. And
because his whole life was, like, based on him being a drummer on the road. Like, he just can't do that again.
Exactly. And he experienced that both in letting go... So, ultimately, like, his addiction was about trying to...
Well, no, he has a heroin addiction. That's just...
Sorry,
that's,
yes.
That's just it. He can't... he's a drug addict.
Metaphorically, he's replaced heroin in this instance, in the second half of this movie, with trying to regain this old life. He acts like an addict.
Yeah, that's what,
you know, Joe said to him.
Yeah.
You look like an addict right now, because he's trying, you know, and he's asking for money, he's being secretive, I've got to get, this is, you know, he's somebody who's quite obsessive.
But then the worst part is, it was actually true though. He was like, my girlfriend, because we thought he was making it up, he goes like, oh, my girlfriend's dad's really rich, I'll get you the money back. We're like, yeah. And then he goes to the girlfriend's dad's house, and it's like this unbelievable,
yeah,
like, exactly, French mansion. So he was actually telling the truth, but because he was an addict, Joe was very skeptical of him. So I love all that. And like, of course, we're such like schmucks. We wanted him to go back to like the deaf community and like marry the teacher and like teach
well,
the
well,
kids.
Well, as soon as you get this beautiful montage in the middle of how good his life is, you're like, oh, what's next? What? Like, we're halfway through this. What's the conflict?
Yeah, just like it goes. It's such a surprise of a film, and like we could talk about it all night, but there's probably no like we love it. Totally recommend it.
But I will say, just to finish off what I was going to say, the you know, I'm not able to relate directly to his experience of losing his hearing and that transition into kind of a different community and how the world suddenly changes and how you interact with it. Although I felt like the movie certainly brought
really
that to
job,
life
yeah.
for me. But I was able to identify with this whole idea of letting go of a certain part of your life.
Yeah.
Right?
This
idea
of
transitions.
Had.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Or a certain dream that you may no longer be able to achieve, and it's about kind of accepting, and that's what, you know, that's why their relationship kind of struck a chord with me. Whereas it's like a very mature thing, as you say, to sort of being able to acknowledge that you're not good for each other, even
yeah.
though you love each other.
It's not even that they weren't good for each other; they just were like. Weren't meant to be like neither when they kissed yeah. it was so awkward. It's like the most awkward on-screen kiss I've ever witnessed.
And they changed, but they both changed. Like she went through a very personal transformation as well during the time that they were apart, you know.
Yeah, because it also meant the end of her life when he went off to that set
well, exactly
center. Yeah.
She kind of reconnected with her dad. Her sort of music style seemed to have evolved a bit. She changed her hair. She had a literal sort of transformation, right?
I mean, once you've changed your hair in a film, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's over.
Utter transformation. And he did too. He shaved off the blonde.
That's true. Actually, that's all a little bit on the nose now that I realise that
well,
they
no,
both
it isn't.
Changed their
no,
hair.
But he had to shave it. He was getting yeah. implants in his head, like. But yeah, no, it's really relatable. And yet at the same time, a window into a world that we kind of know nothing about, which is just why movies are amazing. So hopefully yeah. we're going to be back in the cinema again soon.
Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Let us know what you thought. Send us a message, thecinemile@gmail.com or Twitter, Instagram or Facebook @cinemile. And yeah, see you soon.
Yeah, and if you're feeling generous, go leave us a review.
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
On iTunes or
we
wherever.
We haven't asked for a review in so long and therefore haven't gotten a review in so long.
Yeah.
If you could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, we would hugely appreciate it.
Yeah, it really helps us out.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. See you next time. Back in the cinema.
When this crappy, mundane world suddenly becomes radiant and magnificent, all the fear is gone. That place will never abandon you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.